The mind is often scattered elsewhere. To gather it into a unified whole, all of us have made the space to be here today and longer. Whatever works for us, we're here for at least the day of sitting today. And what is our intention? We say Sesshin's a time to discover anew, clarify and actualize our deepest intention. Maybe it's just something we put on the calendar a while ago and the day has arrived. We know it's one of the aspects of Zen practice, so maybe with some hesitation or with some trepidation or with some a curiosity or great determination, we step forward into Sesshin. I think it's so important to, not just at the beginning here, but all the way through, to really ask, what is our intention? What are we doing here? Is it just something we do? Is it maybe we have some vague sense that we've all maybe sat some kind of sesshin, some kind of retreat before, and we know something good comes out of it, even if we can't quite remember what? But we can watch our kind of unclear intentions. Like maybe it's just something to add to our Zen identity. I accomplished another sesshin, just to see if we can do it. Or because we should be as real true Zen students, we're into sesshin. So, doesn't really matter what it is, but something hard, maybe just that, we don't know what it is, something hard, and that in itself is can sort of bolster our sense of pride or something, add to our list of ways we think about ourselves, all of these things. Maybe happen, but okay. But let's look deeper and use the opportunity. If that maybe is our only motivation, now that we're stuck here, we can look deeper. Or is it our motivation could be like our intention could be to become really concentrated, to become really clear, a little more peppy, like taking a big vitamin, daily vitamin, weekly vitamin, energy boost, energy enhancer, super sesshin. To feel good. If that's our motivation at some point in sesshin, then we maybe start to question, wait a second. Man, is this really about feeling good? And I think we do often. Even if it's not our motivation, we probably sometime in sesshin, sometimes it's right after sesshin, when it's over, we feel good. But again, I don't think this is the deepest motivation for doing sesshin. Even if it boosts our Zen identity and is something to feel proud about and also to feel really good and energetic and awake, all these things are fine and maybe come along with. Not like we have to get rid of them, but again, to look deeper. Seems to me, the more I practice it, it all seems to revolve around this issue of the self, who we think we are, greed, hate, and delusion. All suffering seem to come forth from holding on to our limited idea of our self. And the very motivation to do sesshin is often comes from such a thing. So, can we turn it completely around? This is the chance. Every moment of our life is a chance, but particularly a meditation retreat like this, a chance to really investigate who we think we are and be willing to let go of ourself, be free of ourself, become vast enough to meet this world and all beings, really openly and compassionately. To practice these bodhisattva vows, to free everyone from wherever they're stuck by the way we meet them, to drop away all our karmic obstacles and delusions, to enter all new dharma gates, boundless. Each moment offers a new one, to be Buddha's way. So I think it's, especially on the first day, or even if you're just sitting today, I think to deeply ask, what is my intention in the sesshin, but also to do this practice at all, and even larger, what's my intention in just living this life before I die? And then we have this, you could say this whole sesshin setup, the whole structure is designed to help us let go. Rest more and more naturally in a big mind, very flexible and open. And keeps bringing us back to the present. So, not just zazen. I mean, surely sesshin is mostly zazen, but all the forms of sesshin, like services, the long morning service. The thought arose from me, like, we're chanting all these names, so many names, and we're going to keep doing it every day. And you might feel like, what's the point of chanting all these Asian names that we can't hardly pronounce? Yeah. Is it just some old thing we're doing to get through to the next thing? To fill in a block of time because we're tired of silence? Using these opportunities to, if nothing else, it's like, oh, well, I really would rather not spend like half an hour just doing all this chanting that doesn't really make sense. Or at least if we're going to chant, let's chant something that makes sense. Yeah. But there it is. There's our chance to like let go of who we think we are and not waste that time by thinking we're just getting through it. Wholeheartedly engage with it just because it's given to us. I'd say, well, we could change it. Well, We haven't changed it yet. We could, and everything is changing constantly, but with each thing that arises, it's kind of nice because none of us really designed it exactly. It just comes from we don't know where in the past. So we just accord, use it as an opportunity to let go. If we're resisting a form, Oryoki's like that too. I actually really enjoy Oryoki, but sometimes it might feel like it's another like kind of tedious thing. Why don't we just like sit down and have the meal and get it over with? Why all this elaborate ritual just to have some food? Isn't it a little outdated? We're Americans anyway. But again, it is an opportunity to just relax into it, use it, create a spirit of devotion, even if we don't understand it, just devotion to the form because it's what's happening. And then, you know, these forms are all the services and the meals are have this spirit of making offerings and generating gratitude and respect for all these Buddhas and Bodhisattvas who are supporting us. So however we understand that, to let the heart open to whatever that is. And the work period, to it's not just some work needs to be done, it's like this is Sashin. So use it as a way to harmonize, relax, and be attentive, just like in Zazen, and make an offering to the Sangha. We can be used by the 24 hours, or as Jiaozhou says, we can use the 24 hours as a practice. And if we're confused or we don't like what's happening, then those are the best opportunities. If everything's going well and we're really concentrated, we don't really need to do anything. But when aversion arises, there's our chance. Here's like, oh, this is what I came to Sashin for, this aversion. Now I have a chance to practice, to settle more deeply into, take a deep breath and relax and open, become even larger, contain it. So it's almost like where all these forms of Sashin are creating this a big candle, you could say, a big offering candle for Buddha. And then the Zazen mind of just spacious openness and presence, it lights the candle. So if we don't create all these forms and practices, that's like the structure of Sashin, then when we're settling into the present, there's not really anything to light. In a way, there's always something to light, but this offers this creation of a big offering candle. And that when it's lit, it's magnificent and a great gift to the universe. So we can create it, we can do all this, go through the structure of the day, maybe grudgingly, and I like this part and I don't like this part, and pass our time. It still creates a candle, but it's not lit yet. So to create this candle and then light it with this mind of like just in presence and engagement and open flexibility lights it. So we often talk about, wanting to be free from suffering. And maybe some of you have that motivation too. I often think of that as that's my underlying intention to practice really wanting to really be free from suffering. In a way, it's kind of a small vehicle intention if we just leave it at that. Whereas the great vehicle, Mahayana intention, is also to be free from suffering. But in order to be fully available to all beings and really benefit this world, they go together. And I think the more free we are, the more of our own stuff, our own hindrances and narrow self-concern, the more we're released from that, the more we are able to really help the world. I think we all kind of know how that works. But keeping that big picture in mind. And then the practices, as we know, but just to remember these six bodhisattva practices, it can be done in a transcendent way and in a very ordinary way. And I think that's the spirit of Sesshin. And again, as I continue to practice, I continue to hear this teaching over and over in all different Mahayana traditions and experience it in my own practice more and more deeply, that these six perfections, these six bodhisattva practices, are really like the entire path of practice of a bodhisattva. It's like there's nothing missing in these at all. So the practice of giving and generosity in Sesshin, this is giving our own carefulness and attentiveness, silence, to create the space for everyone, is a real giving. Kind of a simple giving in Sesshin. And if we're serving a meal, then that's obviously a giving too, or cooking a meal. But actually just to sit quietly and stay with it, really, we all support each other so obviously in this way, is giving. And virtue, ethical discipline is runs through the whole Sesshin, of course, too. This practice of harmonizing with each other. Again, Sesshin makes it so relatively easy to practice these bodhisattva precepts. We hardly talk at all, so all those speech ones we don't have to worry about so much. But still, the subtle ways we interact with each other to really try to stay in harmony, and even in our thoughts. And then patience is a huge one in Sesshin. Traditionally, these three types of patience. Patience when wronged, it's like or when harmed by another person in particular. That's one of the, to not retaliate, to not react and defend, but patiently just receive what's happening graciously. Very difficult, of course, but this is a great practice, particularly the relational practice of patience. And then patience with all other kinds of hardship and difficulty that's not necessarily somebody harming us. So this is like our painful legs and butt and back in Sesshin, be patiently gently receiving that difficulty with great kindness towards ourselves. I think it's kind of nice that they kind of divide up that patience like this, you know, the kind of that difficulty, kind of the suffering from others gets its own category because it's so hard and it's so, you know, big in our life. Kind of like patience with difficulty and hardship in general is one type of patience, and then patience with the difficulty and hardship that comes from others kind of insulting us or pushing us, whatever. And then the third type of patience is the patience with the ultimate truth of Dharma. Patience with, maybe we don't even get to work with this patience until we really start to open to how nothing is really happening. And that can be like kind of disturbing. that everything is empty of what we think it is. So the patience in not getting afraid or overwhelmed by Dharma in that way is another kind of patience. And then diligence, the armor-like diligence of of being willing to be patient with all kinds of difficulty, to diligently continue this kind of work together, patiently receiving the difficulty of sashin and diligently continuing. And diligence in action is like the diligence that resists laziness. Like, I think I just want to take a break now, and I'm going to. I'm really tired, but I'm gonna sit upright the rest of this period. So again, armor-like diligence is kind of like the courage to just like wearing armor, almost like to go into battle with difficulty. Battle image is maybe not quite the right one, but the diligence to not give up with great courage in the midst of difficulty. And then this diligence in action is like to also not just sink into laziness, to kind of like, if our mind says, just space out now, it's okay, you've been sitting long enough, just indulge this daydream, this period. And if you catch it, to say, no, I actually, that's a kind of, feels a little lazy, I'm just going to continue. And then the unstoppable diligence that's just like, over time, just continuing. Okay, we were diligent for this one period, but you mean we have to do it again another period? It's unstoppable. And then, of course, concentration. Samadhi. Dhyana paramita. The bodhisattva practice of collecting the mind into an integrated whole.